Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Appreciate you hanging out. We see some people here hanging out live. A happy birthday to our guy, Evan, who is hanging out live on our FTN YouTube page. Appreciate everybody who hangs out live here on the stream. If you're not watching on Game Plus, always a great lineup on Game Plus Network. Pat Mayo is going to follow. We had Jake Seeley and Jeff Ratcliffe, the two best rankers in the game yesterday, over on Game Plus Network, talking some Dynasty Fantasy Football as well. So Jake's show, All in Football, you can catch on our YouTube page as well as Game Plus Network. And we will be with you. Jake will be. All year long, as football never stops, as you know, he's talking some dynasty. We're going to talk some dynasty and some keeper stuff, and really, once free agency happens in the draft, we'll really get deep into the football. But we're going to continue the baseball talk. Tino Rodriguez is going to stop by. The NBA returns today. There's a handful of games on the hard court. Bunch of teams squeaking sneakers here this evening. So Tino's got some picks. I got some picks as well. Got some NHL picks for you, Evan. He says it's his birthday, and he is looking for some NHL picks and some props. So hopefully we can give you some. Griff Dog is going to join us here today. Griffin Swanson, I think he's fantastic, and I am super thrilled to have him on this show, and also to announce that he is going to join us over at FTN as a part-time writer for NHL DFS and also given some bets as well. Griff Dog DFS, honestly, he's a fantastic follow. He's super sharp. He's a big Pens guy. I'm looking at his Twitter background right now with Yager and Francis and Lemieux, all the good old days, right? When the Pens won the back-to-back cups. And he's been spoiled over the last few years as well, with Sidney Crosby winning three cups and Malkin and all the stars in Pittsburgh. The Pens are on the ice tonight. There's 8 games on the slate. The Pens are playing the Devils. Dougie Hamilton, Jesper Bratt returning to the lineup for New Jersey. I have some picks and some props, some goal scorers as well towards the end of the show. But we will have Griffin here in the next segment to break down the slate, talk about it from a drafting standpoint, see who he's feeling as well, because I know he is hot fire when it comes to the shot props. So he's going to be doing some part-time writing with us. He still has he's going to have his own channel over there. He does some DFS videos every single day, and I think I saw Cole Caulfield on the cover of his DFS video yesterday, so I think things worked out for him yesterday pretty well as Caulfield hit the score sheet again. Before we get to the three stars, I wanted to give some love to FSWA. Of course, today is the day where we find out if this show is indeed a winner. Mean Streets is up for Best Fantasy Video Long Form. Direct TV Fantasy Zone is in there as well. A good football show on the clock. NBC Edge, Yahoo Football Life. So we are in the running, which is pretty cool. They're going to announce the winners today on SiriusXM between 2 and 4 Eastern. They're going to give some love to, of course, the great late Mike Taglieri, who we all love. Is a great inspiration to myself and a lot of other people in the fantasy community. Still super sad to see him go. Just an amazing dude and a phenomenal worker and a hard worker. And everything that he's going to get today is well-deserving for Taglieri. Also, David Gonos, who helped me about 15 years ago create a fantasy website called LockerRoomFantasySports.com. I don't think it's still a website. You don't need to go check it out. But I started a fantasy website years ago, just as a guy who likes some sports. And a shout out to Neil Parker as well, and John Collins and Mike Omelon, who are S. McLaren as well, Andrew Reed over at Anthem Sports Entertainment, all part of FSLR, Fantasy Sports Locker Room. And David Gonos was a big part in helping us, you know, get the site up, getting some connections, helping post on his site, getting us on Reddit, getting some clicks, which led me to getting a job at Anthem Sports Entertainment over at FNTSY. And here we are today, Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network and Anthem Sports and Entertainment. So it's crazy. Super honored and thrilled. All the hard people, all the work that people have done into this show. Our guy George and Tino running the show for us here, and you guys as well, helping pump the show, smashing the like button, commenting, sharing. All that stuff is really, it's greatly appreciated. So a ton of respect, and we'll see what happens here tonight. But good luck to all the writers. Jeff Ratcliffe's up for an award. Our guy Brian DeCorti is up for Golf Writer of the Year as well, which is super, super cool because there's a lot of sharp minds in the PGA world, and he is one of those guys. So Good luck to everybody here today, and we'll find out if Mean Streets is going to take home some hardware. Let's get to last night. Let's get to last night and talk some three stars here. Oh, we'll do this. We'll do this. Give some love to Prize Picks here. So I actually made a mistake last night in saying that I won 12 units with these three successful pick entries. We were 3 for 3, but you have to, go perfect to get that 4 to 1. But you still earn a profit here with the 3 for 4. It was 3 for 4 across the board. So the flex play is 3 for 4. The power play, you need to go perfect. Flex play, you can go 2 for 3 as well. 4 for 5 depends what, you know, how many players you want to pump in there. But I keep talking about Prize Picks with you guys. So this is just a little bit of proof of some of the success that we have had, and it kind of saves yourself a little bit that hedge life talk that some people like to bring up, and it kind of covers yourself. Because I'll be honest, February has been a pretty inconsistent month when it comes to betting. I'm feeling a little down these days. I'd like to give you guys some winners. It feels like the props are good and the sides are not. The sides are good and the props are not. Had some goal scorers yesterday, 4 of 6. Didn't have them in the bet tracker, but had them in the Discord channel for some people. But here at Prize Picks, I mean, we have the free pick tracker, absolutely free. Over at FTNDaily.com, we're given plays. And as you see as an example, Bertuzzi hit, Makar hit, Jason Robertson hit, Josh Anderson didn't. I was really feeling Josh Anderson. As you see, I have him on the three pick entries. He took a puck to the face. I think he fractured his face last night. It was vicious. He blocked a shot with his face. It was not... I can't imagine that felt any good. No excuses. I don't think he would have got to the two anyways. He did go down late in the second. But 3 for 4, you cash. The bottom one, Tuck, Skinner, Caulfield, these guys hit. 3 for 4, the top right one there. Kucherov, Robertson, Landeskog, these guys hit. Anderson didn't. 3 for 4, save yourself a little bit of cash. I know it's nice for that big payout. You still, like, if you go perfect here, you're still 4 to 1. If you want to do the power play, you go perfect, it would pay out 8 to 1. But I like that flex play because, you know, you get the 3 for 4 and, you know, kind of away you go. Here's the three stars from last night. No Cole Caulfield, but we do have, maybe the biggest Caulfield, Mike Convery, maybe the biggest Caulfield supporter. I lied to you on Dangle Betselli. I said that he was going to get a star today. He certainly, I guess, deserved one. Another goal last night for Caulfield, who already has more points in 8 games in St. Louis than he did in 30 with Dom Ducharme. He had 1 goal there with Ducharme, and here with St. Louis, he's got the 6 goals and 10 points. He's riding a 4-game point streak with 8 points over that span, 13 shots. He's really feeling it. But we got to give some love to here Nicholas Suzuki, Slick Nick. He had 2 goals last night. He had a beautiful penalty shot goal, 3 points, 3 shots on goal. I know a lot of the love has been to Caulfield, but Suzuki showed up last night. That top line was pretty good despite Anderson leaving. The Habs are rolling. My goodness, they've won 4 straight. What is happening? Jamie Benn, I've been hard on for a couple years. It's like that fantasy bust. It's just a big name that people want to draft early. He's having a heck of a year. I say heck of a year. You know, it's okay. It's been all right. Him and Tyler Seguin deserve to be. I mean, if I was a Stars fan, I would expect a little bit more from these two. Seguin did score last night in overtime. Ben had a good game. The shorthanded point there. He was in on all 3 goals as Dallas beat Winnipeg. He had the goal and the 3 points there. And then Victor Arvidsson, who we had yesterday as a shot prop guy at 3.5. We really gave a lot of love to Victor Arvidsson, leading the league in shots per 60 at 5.5, leading a league in expected goals at 5.5 per 60 as well. Victor Arvidsson has been, I don't want to call him a puck hog. The guy loves to shoot the puck, and he scored 2 goals last night, and he got a goal, the game-winning goal with a couple minutes left for us to get Kings in 60. So we had to give a little love to Victor Arvidsson. My bad on the Cole Caulfield star there. We had to give it to Nicholas Suzuki. We're going to continue the hockey talk here. We're going to bring in Griff Dog. We are going to break down the 8-game slate. Of course, Dangle Betselli is live. Myself and Eric Young broke it all down, but Griff is his nice, sharp mind. We'll get his thoughts on tonight's slate. You can go back and watch Dangle Betselli if you want. Tino is hanging by. We are going to talk basketball. Also, continue the MLB future talk as well on this show. We've looked at futures and just teams that win the World Series. We've looked at home run odds. Yesterday, we took a look at MVPs. Today, we will take a look at Cy Young odds in the American League and in the National League as we are kind of officially getting into baseball mode. Don't worry. It's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen. Pavelski, Josh, is he on the list? He didn't hit for us yesterday, and it pains me to give a free bet, to have that free bet wrong. It doesn't pay me to give a free bet. It pains me for that bet to be wrong. And that's what happened yesterday with Joe Pavelski. So we'll try to bounce back here today with some winners, Josh. Hang on, lots of hockey here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back in. I lied. This is not Griff Dog. It's Tino Rodriguez. Griff is hanging by. We hope to hook up with him in a little bit. We will have some NHL stuff in there. Tino, you and I are going to talk some NBA in a little bit. You got some NBA picks as well, but we do have some MLB stuff, and we want to continue that. You want to start with maybe some Cy Young stuff? Also, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I this is a rare occasion where on the boards, even though there could be a George Jinx out there, we get to see two of our guys on these boards. I don't want to spoil anything to us, but both of our, the heads of our teams are pretty good pitchers. We can start with my guy in Jacob DeGrom. 4.5-1 here at the top of the board for NL Cy Young.
Jinx.
Yeah, right. But luckily, we have another pitcher for the Mets in Max Scherzer, who's at 8-1, just a few steps behind him. I think the NL, though, year in, year out, it's kind of anyone's game when you think about it, just because, yeah, DeGrom's there, but you see how injuries can quickly shift things. And then, Corbin Burns, people counted him out, a lot of Zach Wheeler love, and then he was able to kind of surpass him. Walker Buehler made a run. Like, anyone from the Dodgers you can make a case for sometimes. But there are loaded arms in here, man. Sandy Alcantara down at 20-1 is an interesting name. Jack Flaherty, 18-1. I'm not the biggest Logan Webb guy, but I think Max Fried, is mispriced here when you think about Mike Soroka being the actual ace of that team. I'd love to see him bounce back. But I think Sandy Alcantara at 21 is an interesting name. Blake Snell hasn't been able to put it together. So I'd probably look towards the bottom here at Jack Flaherty, Sandy Alcantara. And then, of course, I could talk about Jake DeGrom all day, but I won't. I'll spare everyone because, George just said DeGrom just entered health and safety protocols. Yeah, I know, before the season even started. Yeah, and Andrew agrees, man. 20-1 is really good value on Sandy. It's really good.
He's actually my guy. He's my favorite guy on the board, Sandy. I really like what he has to offer. I love the ballpark that he pitches in. The division is fine. It's okay. But I guess that's the kicker, right? That Andrew says bad teams, so the wins may not be there. And it's, we can laugh about wins and we talk about in fantasy about it, they're overrated, don't draft a pitcher just because of wins. And I believe that's the case. But I also believe that the voters will look at that statistic as W's, right? I mean, they may, if they're splitting hairs between two guys and Sandy has 8 wins and the other DeGrom has, 20 wins or 20 plus in the
week. DeGrom having 20 wins.
Wait. That's assuming he's going to get run support. Let's be honest about DeGrom here. It's a bet that maybe you don't want to make because he's up at the top of the board and there's not a lot of value there. But what are we thinking? That this guy is just going to be a clean track record in terms of health this season? Something's probably going to pop up. Let's be honest about it. Unfortunately.
No, we can be real. And honestly, in terms of his odds at 4.5-1, let's be real. At the All-Star break, he was a favorite to win the NL MVP. And last year on this show, I used to hype it up and I did gas it up and it sounds like a very homer call, but we got him at 50-1 and he moved all the way down to like -250 at one point at the All-Star break because, he's won the Cy Young so many times and he's cracked that code. The same case you're trying to make against Sandy, right? The wins, the wins. DeGrom has been in the running and won the Cy Young so many times now that he's already broken all those molds. He's had a losing record most of the seasons he has a losing record, only 10 wins. His ERA has been there. His strikeouts have been there. So as long as Sandy's numbers can back it up, that'd be great. Yeah, DeGrom's arm scares me. It does. And I think that's part of the reason they went out to get a big arm in Max Scherzer. But at the same time, in more of the value play, I just would take him at 4.5-1 because I think if DeGrom is on, he's probably one of the best baseball players on the planet. And it's really not even close. You saw it at the beginning of the year. So I don't have the MVP board. I don't think he was on there for us. But my thought would ring the same. I think he would be the best player on the Mets. If the Mets are a good team, it's because of Jacob DeGrom. Now I know we have Max Scherzer, but I think the better bet would be for him to win MVP than Cy Young. It just doesn't make any sense to bet the top of a board on most of these things, right? Like, I mean, you can, but like, it very easily, like, say he comes off to a slow start, you're going to get way better than 4.5-1, right? Just my opinion.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. If something were to happen to him in the first month and, an injury, or like you said, he does get a slow start, then you will be able to. You're spot on. I remember we had conversations about him. Not only was he the favorite, I believe he was like minus money at one point.
He was.
The MVP, the Cy Young for sure, But the MVP, he was a massive favorite. So we have our projections. It's actually from Vlad. Projections are live on ftnfantasy.com. Again, the betting pack or the baseball package is absolutely lit. There's, there's all kinds of goodness in it. I'm just looking at Fangraphs and some of the projections like the bat, ATC, zips, steamer. The highest projections in terms of innings has him at 153. Most have him around 145, but I mean, the ERA is sparkling, you know, low two. The walks again, sub two, walks per nine, double digit K per nine, of course, you know, 12, 13. Some sites have him at 13. He's a stud, right? It is just about health. If this guy can give you 150 innings, he's still would be in the running for the Cy Young.
You'll know what Jacob DeGrom we're getting. The first game he pitches, typically he'll go 100 off the gun first three pitches. Last year he faced the Braves and went 100 out of Cunha three pitches in a row and sat him down. So you'll know pretty early on if we're getting Jacob DeGrom of old or Jacob DeGrom of an injured version of him. Do we want to get to AL before we
For sure. Freed is a good call by you too. I thought he was I like him. I know our guy D Jones, David Jones on the FTN side daily, mostly some bets as well. He's not a Freed fan. I remember doing some baseball pods with him last year, some DFS stuff, and he doesn't really feel like he's I don't know. I don't know what his beef was with him, but I think he's phenomenal. He keeps the ball on the ground, a 50% ground ball rate last year, 54% for his career. He's got some swing and miss stuff too. The command is okay. It was definitely good last year. He's improved in each of his first couple of years. So I wanted to give him a little bit more love too as well. And then you see, Shohei on the graphic. Thanks, George, for that. Garrett Cole. Yeah. Up at the top here at plus 450. Shane Bieber, I have some concerns with. I love the guy. I think he's phenomenal. I remember talking about him a couple years ago. I remember actually writing some DFS content while working in the oil patch about 5 years ago when Bieber was getting the call up, and the command was unbelievable. I think he only had like eight walks and like 200 innings or something through a bunch of stops throughout the minors. But I'm concerned with the velocity. I think there's something there with the shoulder. I'd be cautious of Shane Bieber. Even in season-long drafts. Lucas Giolito at 11-1 I think is interesting. Dylan Cease is like that next breakout candidate I think a lot of people are expecting. Vegas as well, giving him 12-1 Interesting. Verlander, 15-1 McClanahan, I think he's really good. Yeah. But the guy that jumps out here is the guy we touched on the other day, Sale at 18-1 Like, how can you not take a shot at that?
Yeah, and George, you're going to have to test it because you put me and Meanie's guys on here. So you're going to have to
Yeah, thanks, Chris bud.
Yeah, Chris Sale's got to be next on whatever board's here. But 18-1 I mean, yeah, we talk about a turnaround and talk about some long shots. A guy who's done it before, and if he can put it together and make a case. I actually, you know, and in the chat right now, Andrew's saying there's no way the Blue Jays went back-to-back Cy Youngs. But I do think because of how difficult the AL East is, the Cy Young could very easily come out of that division. And you saw on the bottom there, Jose Barrios is at 20-1 I'm not the biggest Barrios guy. I know Gausman's around the same thing. Chris Sale at 18-1 I think one of those guys is a smarter play than take the shot at Garrett Cole, and you see where Garrett Cole is. It just, for me, it makes more sense because I think they could prove it. Like, I think it's a lot easier for them to put a resume together. Plus, that division's loaded with strikeouts. And I know baseball's full of strikeouts to begin with, but I think, especially a guy like Chris Sale, man, if he's on, his strikeout numbers are going to be there. If he keep his ERA down, I think the Red Sox will win when he's on the hill. If, you know, if they're going to be the Red Sox that we think they are, I think they'll win when he's on the hill. So stop it. This is what George just said. Stop it. Yeah, no, we're going to test it. It's your turn next, all right? Because you're putting a hurt the Grom on there. We're getting antsy about Shohei Ohtani. So, yeah, and then, yeah, Andrew, sure. Sale or no one. So, yeah, I think there's value at the bottom of the board on both of these things. Obviously, the top guys jump out at you, but I think it's a lot easier to bet those guys at the start of the season, especially with a guy like DeGrom. Maybe he starts hurt, that number will drop, or Garrett Cole, say he gets hurt, and that drops. I think you can get him at a very, very, you know, just a better price than where they are right now. It makes no sense to bet those top guys. I'd look for 18 and above right now, 18-20-1
Chuck up that board again. Yeah, let's see the bottom of that board. There's a couple guys here that stand out that I just feel like Frankie Montas, get out of here with that. Chris Bassett had a good season last year. I'm not believing in.
Well, Frankie Montas, you can make a case for him because they're not testing for juiced.
Yeah, I mean, he was the best pitcher in baseball, and then he got suspended 80 games. So, I mean, Montas is okay. I think he's a good pitcher. I like his mix. I do like the ballpark he plays in, but I just don't think he's, like, let's be real. Lance Lynn at 22 is interesting to me. Shohei, I don't think will have the innings to really qualify. If there was a Jays pitcher, though, you know, Kevin Gausman, I don't know if he'll have the strikeouts either, but, you know, we can dig a little bit deeper next time we bring this up. We gave a little bit of love to Manoah. I don't know if he has the potential, but he's a guy that I would imagine you could sprinkle like a small, you know, 0.25 or something on that. I would imagine he's probably well over 40, and he does have the upside maybe to kind of climb up the board. I don't know if he would really win it, but yeah, this list is interesting. I think Shohei, I think Sale at 18-1. I think, Andrew, you're on it. Sale or no one, agree right there. Our guy Griff is hanging by. He says he's hanging around. So we're going to break. We're going to say goodbye to Tino. We will welcome him back in a little bit when we talk some NBA. But Griff Dog is in here next. We got 8 games in the NHL to talk about. Keep her locked. There he is, Griff Dog DFS, Griffin Swanson. Welcome in, dude. I appreciate you taking the time. I was not nervous at all. I knew you would join me. Maybe Twitter's broken. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, technology, man.
Yeah. Congratulations. I announced it earlier. You are the newest member of the FTN fam. Are going to work some part-time, talking some DFS hockey, sprinkling in a little bets. Man, I'm thrilled to have you, man. I think it's fantastic. Welcome in.
Yeah, no, I know we've been talking about this for a while now. Obviously, started doing this, you know, about a year and a half ago, and it's just taken off way faster than I thought it would have. And so excited to be working with you more on a regular basis. I mean, I feel like you and I could talk hockey all day, every day.
All day, every day. We really could. So that's why I have the huge smile on my face. So we'll have some more hockey conversations. So those who are part of the FTN betting package, the FTN daily package, you're going to see Griff hang out with us a little bit more. So another sharp mind to bring into the hockey team. And I'm super thrilled about that. Man, 8 games on the ice today. I want to start with Florida and Columbus with you. We have a game here where the total is creeped up to 7 in some spots. Patrick Laine has been on such a heater. The Panthers lost their last game at home, but they've been so dominant on home ice this season. It seems like every time they play at home, the over hits. I think we're expecting some offense here in this game. Are you? And if so, where do you go? Like, where do you start here?
Yeah, so the first thing that stuck out to me is how cheap that second line was for Florida tonight. And while they likely will be a little bit chalky here, I don't really get too concerned on the ownership side of things because there's going to be a lot of popular teams in general out there tonight. But that one stuck out to me. You're getting Bennett and Duclair in the low 5K range, Huberto on the left wing at 7,200. There's just so much upside from either one of those top two lines, especially in a matchup like this, right? Columbus has been one of the worst defensive teams all year long, but also scoring goals at a pretty high rate here since the All-Star break. I think 4.43 goals per game since the All-Star break. That's third in the NHL, right above them, the Panthers at 4.5. So yeah, a lot of goals are set to be scored here tonight. On the Columbus side of things, Jenner and Laine have been very good together. Nyquist has kind of been sneaky on that second line as well, putting up points, playing a lot better here as of late, but there's a lot to love about this game in general. If you want to get a little bit quote unquote contrarian, that third line for Florida has been awesome.
Right. Yeah. How good is Mason Marchment? I mean, this guy, it's just another player that Florida has, right? It's like, oh, you play him on the third line with Reinhardt and away you go. I've been watching the Panthers all year like you have. And I mean, Barkov and Huberto are phenomenal, but sometimes it's like watching that third line, they're the best line in the ice. And it's not a slight at Barkov and Huberto.
No, not at all. You got Lundell down the middle as well, who's a rookie himself. So, I mean, yeah, whatever they got in the water there in Florida right now is working. And, you know, Burnett's done a really good job of taking over as the head coach, too, and kept those guys really sound, like you said, at home all year long. Probably the best team in the NHL at home so far this year. So, yeah, I foresee a lot of goals here in this one. I think we can attack it a number of different ways. It kind of just depends on the Bobrovsky or Spencer Knight we get here tonight, really. I mean, those guys can be sometimes a little bit up and down, but I think that will, you know, kind of depend how this game goes. Florida's going to score goals either way.
They really are. What do you do when you see a total like that at seven? I mean, you attack it from a DFS standpoint, but from a betting standpoint, do you consider the under, or you just stay away? I mean,
yes,
I wouldn't be shocked if we saw 7 or 8 goals tonight, but I don't want to take the over 7.
No, especially when it's an even number like that. 7, eight goals is a lot. Could it happen? Yeah, very well could. But something I definitely stay away from in terms of not only the over-under, but the money line as well. I think the last I saw, Florida was -450. You know, do they win tonight? More than likely, but throwing down that much juice is really hard to do. So yeah, I'll probably resort towards some of the shot props, if anything.
Yeah, it seems like that's what I said with Eric when we were talking about this slate this morning on Dangle Bet Sally, was that, I mean, you can't bet the Panthers. You either feel like Columbus goes in and wins this game and take the upset, or you just take, like you said, some shot props, some point props. Maybe I saw Sam Bennett was -130 to hit the score sheet. I think that's a decent one as well. He had 7 shots in his last game. So you're feeling that second line. I think I'm with you. One just side question when it comes to DFS, because I know you have a lot of success playing, and I don't know if you're a big cash game player or your tournament guy. I like to play some cash, but what do you do when guys like Laine and Lindholm that are just on unbelievable heaters? You just continue to ride them out, or would you maybe shy away in a tournament knowing that these guys would be chalky and just like, I know that there's risk in not playing Laine, but maybe I just fade him and hope that he doesn't hit the score sheet, knowing that he's going to come with a high ownership like Lindholm. I mean, he's scored in like 8 straight games here today. Like, what do you do when players are on those heaters? Do you just ride with them, or do you fade them?
Yeah, so for me, it's funny you mentioned this, because we were actually just talking about this in my Discord last night when it comes to ownership. And I think sometimes the DFS community in general gets into this groupthink mindset of, oh, well, if this guy's super popular, I can't play him. It's going to destruct my lineup, you know? I don't really see that in NHL to DFS, to be honest. I mean, you know, the other night, Austin Matthews was super popular in that matchup against the Columbus Blue Jackets, came in around 30% ownership. And that was probably one of the highest guys that we saw. But on a slate like tonight, he's only projected around 15% ownership. And I've always found NHL DFS to be super easy to get contrarian. Whereas sports like NFL, it's a little harder to do that. There's a lot more lineups that you do see are duplicated and things of that nature. So to answer your question, no, I don't fade him just because of ownership. If I like a guy, I'm playing him. And that's, I mean, Lindholm, Laine, guys like that right now have been on an absolute heater. So yeah, I'll definitely be sprinkling them in, even if they do come at a, you know, higher ownership cost.
I'm totally with you. We had a very similar conversation a couple weeks ago. Like, how do you not play a guy like Laine, or how do you not continue to ride this out with Lindholm? And I always feel like a sucker when we call goals and we're just like, Lindholm again. But honestly, like, he's playing so well. That top line of Calgary has been unbelievable. And you know more than anybody, I mean, there's so much streakiness in hockey, yes. Right? When you're feeling it, and the goals come in bunches. And we're seeing that with certain players across the league. So you like that second line in Florida. What's another line that you're looking to stack tonight?
Yeah, I think one that, if we are kind of looking from an ownership perspective, that first line out of Nashville is kind of sticking out to me tonight. You got Granlund down the middle with Forsberg and Duchesne on the wings. And I don't want to say it's, you know, a resurrection of Matt Duchesne, but at the same time, it kind of has been this year. I mean, he's looking like he did when he was playing with the Colorado Avalanche. So him and Forsberg, the chemistry's there. You get Granlund down the middle at a really cheap price on DraftKings at 4,100. And a lot of correlation between those three as well, with, you know, all three playing up on the number one power play. Also as well, so Jets played in Dallas just last night. My brother-in-law plays for the Winnipeg Jets, so I always can, you know, talk to him. He's coming into Colorado. We're going to go grab dinner, actually, tonight. But he was like, hey, you know, I can't get into Colorado here tonight. The weather's so bad. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, that means Dallas can't travel to Nashville, when that's usually something they do the night of. So they got to get up here this morning and travel the day of a game. Now, these guys are professional athletes. I'm sure they'll be ready to roll. But that's definitely something I'm going to take into consideration here. Nobody loves traveling the day of a game, especially on back-to-back nights. So that's a line that I think we could probably get a little under the radar with some nice upside.
Yeah, good call. Inside scoop. I like it. I dig that.
Yeah, right,
coming in
right.
with that. I mean, absolutely. You are spot on about Duchesne. Let's be real about what he's doing this year compared to the first couple of years. He looks like the Duchesne, I think, in 2013 with the Avs. and maybe the chain with the Senators, right, that the Blue Jackets acquired at the deadline and then ended up losing, and that Nashville thought that they were getting. He has certainly been awesome, and he's been a great guy to target for shot props as well. Griff, we have this graphic of just some other guys that you like, and I encourage everybody to check out your YouTube page, subscribe over there, get familiar with Griff Dog. Of course, we're going to have a lot of him over at FTM, but these are some other players that you are feeling. Of course, Lindholm is on this list. Sid the Kid, I saw, was the I call him the Kid. I mean, he's not, but it's just what I say, right? He's from up the road. I think we can call him that. Friend of the show, jokes, but you had him as your thumbnail pitcher. Yesterday you had Caulfield. I'm sure you had a pretty good day yesterday as well. Talk to me about Sid. But also, I want to hear some love about Fiala. This guy is feeling it right now. And him and Matthew Boldy, Griff, it looks like these guys have played together for 15, 20 years. The chemistry is off the charts with those two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll start with Sid. I mean, that first line, him, Gensel, Rust have been great. The chemistry between those three is unreal. I watch them pretty much every time that they play. Some nights I can't watch those games, but if, you know, there's one game I'm tuning into, it's usually that one. And the thing is he's the cheapest of those three tonight. Yeah, I didn't foresee that happening. It's tough to get them in as a line stack. If I'm trying to get those guys in, you know, we got to go find some, you know, cheaper guys to fill out the rest of our lineup. And you could even do stuff like, you know, maybe do a Sid Gensel pairing, you know, run it back with one of those cheaper defensemen. So there's a number of different ways to attack it, but yeah, I know Sid, he's notorious for this. Starts the season slow. It seems like the last 5 years here, he starts the season first 10 games where you get everybody in the media going, is this the year that Crosby declines? And then he comes back and he's a, you know, point per game, 1.5 point per game type of player, 47 points in 40 games. And he's just great at home. So getting that last change against the New Jersey Devils tonight, who have struggled themselves defensively this year. You know, Crosby's someone that I always have on my radar. So, yeah, it ultimately came down to the price between him, Gensel, and Rust. Got him the cheapest, so kind of stapled him in as, you know, whether it be a cash or GPP play.
I still think he's the best player on the planet, dude. I really do. I mean, 24 points in 18 home games. Rust, too, is somebody we talked about on Dangle Batselli. 24 points in 15 home games compared to 15 and 15 on the road. I still think, you know, when push comes to shove, you could pick anybody in a playoff series, or you're starting like a fantasy, quote unquote, fantasy draft or a playoff run or something. I'm taking Sid. Like, no disrespect to Connor, and Matthews is having a heck of a season, but I mean, Crosby, dude's a winner.
Yeah, game seven, if you give me one player, yeah, I'm still taking Sid. And I see people arguing about it all the time. They're like, oh, he's not even a top 10 player anymore. It's like, get out of here. Like, this guy's still so damn good. The way he, you know, trains, the way he treats his body. I don't know if you saw that thing from their cup run back in 2017, but it was Billy Guerin who had gone into the office or something like that. You know, it's their off day. Not a single player is in the rink, except for Sid doing deadlifts on his off day. It's like, this guy doesn't take a day off. You know what I mean? So he's certainly getting to, I think he's 34 years old now. He's getting a little older, but yeah, the guy still got it.
We do have one question there from Mike. He says he's stuck deciding between Rust and Gensel for points tonight. He says he's leaning Gensel. I don't know if you can go wrong with either or. Maybe to hit the score sheet, it kind of correlates pretty well, right? Like, usually when one of them gets a point, the other guy gets one as well.
Right, yeah, it's pretty much flipping a coin at that point, right? I mean, for what it's worth, Rust has been a little bit better in terms of getting on the score sheet, you know, over the past 10 games. But, you know, I think the upside is pretty much even when it comes to all three of those guys.
Okay, so talk to me about Fiala.
Yeah, man, you're right. So him and Boldy, I mean, Boldy stepped in and NHL player right away. You know, there was a little bit of him moving back and forth between the taxi squad. I think it was largely due to salary cap reasons, all that stuff. You play in the Tampa Bay Lightning game, trying to get all your best players in while, you know, still reserving a little salary cap. But yeah, so Boldy's been great, obviously kind of stepped into that third line role, playing up on the number one power play. But Fiala's been super impressive here as of late. And I think, you know, part of the reason is these guys are getting some good matchups too. Obviously, when you send out that first line of Hartman, Zuccarello, and Kaprizov, you know, Zuccarello is day-to-day right now, but they're typically matching up against the best defensive pairing. Second line usually comes out, it's Eriksson Ek, who's playing that defensive role, matching up against the opposing best line as well. So then you got that third line of Gaudreau, Fiala, and Boldy, who are getting some pretty good matchups on a nightly basis, and they're making the most of it. Fiala's naturally a shooter. He kind of went through a little slump there through the month of January, but we've started to see him pick that up a game. You know, you got 12, 15 shots on net here, or 20 shots in his last four games. He's got multiple point upside, you know, 13 points here in his past 10. I wish he played up on that first power play. You're seeing Boldy that kind of took that spot from him, but yeah, outside of that, hard to ignore that price of $5,400 when he's coming off back-to-back games of 30-plus DraftKings points.
Yeah, and we're seeing his ice time. It was a slow December, I think, to your point, right? He went through a bit of a lull there where he wasn't really shooting and he wasn't hitting the score sheet. I'm just looking now. December, he averaged 15 minutes per game, but he's back up to the 18-minute mark over the last 2 months. He's got 22 points over his last 18 games and 11 goals over that span and 57 shots. So he's really shooting the puck there as well. We'll get you out of here on goalies. We also have a board with some goalies that you are feeling here. So walk us through here your thoughts. I mean, Markstrom up at the top. I mean, what a stud he's been this year.
Well, I mean, you just kind of got to ride out where Calgary's at right now, too, right? 10-game win streak. They're leading the league in goals per game ever since the All-Star break, second in the league in goals allowed. So they're just playing, you know, at their peak right now. I saw you and Cecil kind of talking about that a little bit yesterday and, you know, getting them at Stanley Cup odds. I mean, they're playing their best hockey right now. So right now, Markstrom is easy paying up for a goaltender like that. He's 8-1-0 here in his past nine starts, and his numbers have been great. He got a goals allowed average of 1.86, save percentage of 0.932. So, yeah, he just kind of riding that Calgary Flames team while they're hot. And then Igor Shesterkin, man, this is the Vezina goalie, in my opinion, at this point, you know, just over the halfway point of the season. You know, Rangers have obviously played better in front of them this year, but this guy's numbers have been good from start to finish. Hasn't changed here over his past 10 games. Yeah, definitely the Vezina guy for me at this point. So if I'm spending up at goalie here tonight, those two stuck out to me. But if we do need to save a little cash, Ilya Sorokin catching the San Jose Sharks here tonight, who haven't really been scoring goals at a very high rate. As much as I do like Brent Burns here tonight at $5,500, I think if we do need that price savings, you know, Sorokin's a guy that has solid numbers. Record hasn't been great. Islanders obviously started the season on that huge road trip. Didn't bode well for them. And I don't want to say they're playing great hockey right now, but they are certainly playing better. So, yeah, he kind of stuck out to me as a guy, you know, Sharks team 1-5-4 here in their past 10 games, you know, on the road, 7,300, a guy who's got 20-plus DraftKings point upside.
Yeah, the Sharks are reeling, right? I mean, I know Erik Karlsson isn't the same defenseman, but since he's been out, they've been losing the games. I like Brent Burns from a shot prop standpoint. I got money on Markstrom to win the Vezina, but you're probably not wrong. It does seem like it's Igor, but if Markstrom can continue to pile up the wins and maybe get to the double digit, you know, shutout mark, maybe he will get it, but the pricing for Igor has been crazy. Just last week, he was 6'9". Did you see when he was 6'9" against Detroit? I know they lost that game, but what? And at the start of the season, he was 6'8 and 6'9 as well. I could not understand the price point for, I mean, one of the better goalies in the league.
Yeah, I don't know if the algorithm got it wrong or what, but it stuck out to me right away. You know, someone had reached out to me and sent a gift from Star Wars. It's a trap. And I'm like, hey, even if it is a trap, I don't care. I'm playing this guy right at $6,900. Against anybody. So yeah, huge absolutely misprice there. I was at the point, I was like, against Detroit, you know, I'll play him in the 8K range, but get him in $6,900. Sign me up for that night in and night out.
Griff, you're fantastic, man. Congrats. Love to have you as part of the team. I wanted to talk some Stanley Cup stuff with you, but we'll do that another time. Hopefully you are willing to jump on this show always again, and looking forward to your content over at FTN Daily and FTNBets.com. Good luck on the ice tonight, and we'll talk soon, dude. Tino's in here next. We're going to switch our attention to the NBA as we have a handful of games on the hardcore. Keep her locked.
Appreciate it, Mini.
Welcome back, Tino. And welcome back, NBA. What do you got for us here for some picks?
So I do also want to note, I know in Danglebet they were chirping you because you don't have a hat on. But what were the odds that neither of us have hats on? That's the real odds I need to get a line on. We were probably looking at 6-1 there. I mean, the chances both of us, insane. So the NBA is back today. The Nets are in action, and I'm not taking them today. I'm just coming out and saying that now just because we still don't have everyone together. And yeah, I said we. I'm excited about what they're able to do in the second half here. It looks like the New York mandate is finally about to change within the month. So we should see Kyrie in some home games soon. Ben Simmons is working with Kyle Korver on his shot. They just signed Dragic. Things are looking up for the Nets, but they do have a really hot Celtics team and a team that I think is a sneaky play to, you know, win the whole thing and maybe even win the East. So I think that'll be a challenge. And the line's pretty aggressive at that 8. Here's what we're going to do, though. We're going to take 3 teams who are exceptional yes. against the spread. And when I tell you they're exceptional against the spread, we are taking 3 out of the 4 teams at the top of the against the spread chart here. And we'll start here with the Golden State Warriors. Actually, they're not 3 out of the 4, but 2 out of the 4. Anyways, Golden State is towards the bottom here. Still top 10. They're at 29, 26, and 4 against the spread. And I just love them against the Trailblazers today. 9.5 is aggressive. But you know what? I still don't understand how the Trailblazers were beating anybody towards the tail end of that All-Star break. I'm not really sure what's going on. I know Simons was playing exceptional, and that might be the case on why they've won 4 in a row, including 1 in Milwaukee and 1 against Memphis. I mean, absolutely insane. It kind of gets me worried, especially because the Warriors have lost 4 in the last 5. But you know what? Steph Curry on the cover here won the All-Star MVP. I think he stays hot. I think they roll in there and set the tone. And, oh, by the way, they've covered this number each of the last 2 times they played the Trailblazers this season. They're 2-0 against them. They won the first matchup by 15 and the second matchup by 10. So I like the number, even though it's an aggressive line. And then we will talk about the 2 teams who are at the top of the against the spread standings. And we'll start with the Cleveland Cavaliers. No Darius Garland today. I'm not exactly sure why, but according to RotoWire here, I can't see anything. It looks like Rajon Rondo is going to start a point guard. What a name drop there. But I still love the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is another team, and we're going with these 3 teams because there's a proven track record of them handling these teams. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, last time they played the Pistons, although they lost by 10, they won by 20 the game before, and they held them to 78 points. I think we see something more towards that than the 10-point loss. And the Pistons have lost 4 of the last 5. The Cavs, even though they ended on a 2-game losing streak, they were on the road, and it was at Atlanta and at Philadelphia, 2 tough places to play. I like them today. They're great against the spread, 35 wins against the spread. 6.5 just isn't enough to scare me away. And then we're going to go to the breadwinner, Meany. And this is a team that I think I just might bet every game for the rest of the season until people start adjusting this and putting some respect on the line. 3 points isn't enough. It's not enough. They've beaten the Hawks both times this season. The first time by 12, the next time by 14. Why this line is at 3 is beyond me, especially because the Hawks aren't home. I'm taking the Chicago Bulls. This is a no-brainer bet for me. I want to say, oh, maybe I'm a little worried. They're the 4th best team against the spread. Cleveland, the 3rd best team against the spread. I'm not going to overthink it. Just to get back in the groove of things, I'm going to do it with a team that's been there before and knows how to win against the spread, and we'll take all 3 of them laying the points. And hopefully we start off hot here.
Giddy up. You've been red hot, so it's nice to have the NBA back. There was one more I added to that list on a 4-leg parlay, and it's a lot of points. It's the Suns against the Thunder at 10. Put all 4 of those in, and that pays out 12-1.
The interesting line, I wanted to throw Memphis in there, and they are the best team against the spread. Low line, I think it's 3 against Minnesota as well. But in Minnesota, that's a tricky game, man. Minnesota is still one of those teams that people are sleeping on. They play much better at home. Cat, you know, is having this resurgence and won the 3-point contest. I'm just staying away. Minnesota's great at home. Even though Memphis is good against the spread, I'm not going to touch that yet. That's a little too dicey for me. I think 1 3-point spread's enough for us today. But I do like the Suns. Lay the points.
We got to get out of here. Yes. We got to get out of here. We got 2 more segments. It's great TV. Some NHL picks here for you next. Don't go anywhere. 8 games on the ice here. A couple of my favorite shot props for this evening. Got a whole lot more over at FTNBets.com. Oh, look, I love that Panthers uni that you chose there, George. Sam Bennett, 2.5. Remember when we used to target this all the time? He had 7 shots in his last game. So back to feeling it, I think, with Huberto and Duclair. That's the line that I like him to be on. And a matchup here against Columbus, who have allowed the 3rd most shot attempts and inside the top 5 in shots allowed at 5-5 per 60 over last month, according to Natural Stat Trick. Got Brent Burns on this list as well, who has cleared in 7 of his past 8 games. He played 30 minutes in his last game, and he's averaging 27 minutes per game over the last 2 weeks with Erik Karlsson out of the lineup. So I just like guys that play half the game. How could you not? So 2.5 shots for Brent Burns. I think that one's at -122, so a decent price for Brent Burns. Jack Hughes has cleared 2.5 shots in 14 of his past 16 games. He's kind of on the verge of being move to 3.5. It's around -150. I think you can take that and put it into some parlays for Jack Hughes. On the other side, of course, we like the Pens. I like Gensel. I like Rust. But Jack Hughes at 2.5. I'm going to go that way every time. Dougie Hamilton returning tonight is also at 2.5. The bonus is Jason Robertson. Last night, he had 4 shots in the first period. He is cleared now in 16 of his last 23 games, 2.5 shots. I know, I steered you wrong last night with Joe Pavelski. I think he's actually still in play as well. Like I say a lot when the Dallas Stars play, I think you can take all three as singles. The best price is Jason Robertson. Rupe Hintz is in there as well. The Predators, over the last 6 weeks of the season, they've allowed the second most shot attempts at 5.5 per 60. I like Jason Robertson. I got some picks here to round out Mean Streets. So one more segment. Keep her locked. More hockey talk here next. Oh, welcome back in. Got some NHL picks here for you as well. A little birthday gift, hopefully, for Evan. I saw he mentioned Boston in 60. This is my favorite bet. Boston in 60 here. They're going to get Brad Marchand returned to the lineup. You see Pasta there with the Mean Streets noodles. But, I mean, he's been on a heater. But the addition of Marchand here, the Bruins, better than the Kraken. And both teams are pretty stingy. Also like them on the puck line. You may have to sweat that one out at plus money. Minnesota Wild, they just seem to be my team. I don't know, man. I ride this team all the time. I see these kind of odds. I know a tough matchup here against the Leafs, but they're in the middle of a slide. They're still a good team, but maybe they continue to struggle. They're dead last in 5-on-5 save percentage over the last 2 months. I like the over 6.5 in that game as well. 24 of the last 27 games that Toronto has played, we've seen at least 6 goals. The New Jersey Devils play to a lot of overs. I expect the Penguins to score 3 or 4 goals here tonight. The Devils probably get a couple as well. Those are two high totals at 6.5, but I'm willing to side there. And we had some great information from Griff on the travel. I was still on Nashville anyways, at home, Dallas playing the second half of a back-to-back. George says Pavelski's a lock for six shots tonight. He may be. You know, Josh, I don't believe in jinxes. You're not jinxing anything. The process remains the same with that top line. I mean, Rupe Hintz had three or four shots. Robertson had 5. Like, when they're on the ice, they dominate, and the shot attempts are there. We just weren't on the right side of it. Addie Slim checks in. Just a random off night for Joe, right? The line had a ton of shots. I saw somebody talk about Buffalo having a ton of shots. They didn't hit the score sheet, but, you know, all of them, and Thompson and Skinner and Tuck, the process still remains the same with some of the stronger lines in the NHL. So just because we got burned yesterday, don't be afraid to go back to some guys in Dallas. Good luck on the ice tonight. Thanks, guys, for taking the time to hang out. Good luck to everybody as the FSWA Awards will be announced soon. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Cheers.